Good evening, folks. Between the fire at a Tyson facility that knocked offline 6% of the U.S. beef processing capacity and other big ag players that are actively shutting down their plants in the United States, you can now see massive chunks of modern agriculture just falling off. It's no longer cracks in the edifice of a dying system. It's actually being dismantled wholesale before your eyes. And I'm going to look now at some of those moves that these big companies are making, some of these preparations that they're taking to prepare for the more troublesome growing seasons, the difficult challenges in the grand solar minimum. Now, last time we spoke about the lychee shortages in China, which has resulted in them shutting down some of their canneries because there's no crops to plant. That condition then extended here to the United States, where we saw 100 USW workers lose their jobs when a poor crop season cut demand for the tin from their factory, because it is usually canning tomatoes, peas, corn, and food, and with the very poor harvest, there's nothing to can. And these are red sirens ringing, trying to bring attention to what's going on. No sooner had I posted that video than Del Monte announced that they'd be closing three plants in the U.S., including a corn packing plant in northern Illinois, as well as a plant in Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, and one in Cambria, Wisconsin. Note that these are all pretty far north. Production at the end of this current season will finish, and then the plants will be shut down, and hundreds of workers will be sent home. The CEO of Del Monte Pacific, not to be confused with Fresh Del Monte, is ridiculous corporate structures here, says, quote, "The restructuring is happening. It's a necessary step to remain competitive in a rapidly changing marketplace." Yeah, it is. The Sleepy Eye plant is being shut down altogether. Turns out they were able to find a buyer for the Cambria plant, which is good because, as some of these local articles read, these plants are major employers in their local areas. It's been a part of the community for 89 years. They sponsor the Buttered Corn Days Festival, which wasn't canceled here, at least, like the ones in Canada. So this is a huge impact on those communities, not to mention the impact on the agricultural market as a whole, right? The things they're actually producing for the market. I wanted to look then at who are these people? Who's making these decisions here? Del Monte Foods is the U.S. subsidiary of Del Monte Pacific. Del Monte Pacific is owned, it's in Singapore and Manila. It's a global company. This is a multinational company that has no allegiance to anyone. And so they have been announcing plans to restructure the entire supply chain out of the U.S. part of Del Monte. And that's what we're seeing right now. They are pursuing, quote, an asset-light strategy. In other words, they're selling off all their plants and divesting production facilities of that subsidiary. Divest is the opposite of invest. It means we're getting out of it. We're getting out. It's called de-risking. These things are risky investments. Look at the U.S. corn production this year. It's not, we can't count on this, and we're divesting. We're getting the hell out of the U.S. right now, is what Del Monte is saying here. Now, I thought that was really interesting, and so I started looking at what some of the other ag companies are doing. But first, I just want to put this in context, because it was, after all, Del Monte that was experiencing the product shortages, the canned food shortages at Walmarts, Kroger's, HEB's, everywhere, right? They even admitted in the Kroger signs that it was due to a poor harvest. And indeed, when Mari reached out to Del Monte and said, "What's going on? Why are there food shortages?" Del Monte's official response says, "You know, we hope to be able to fix this in the future. Sometimes we don't get enough crops to meet demand. This is a temporary solution, and we hope to return to normal." So Del Monte was well aware of the fact they were experiencing product shortages across the major retailers in the U.S. this year. And that was happening before they made this decision to pursue an asset-light strategy. So again, who are these people? Who's on the board of directors of Del Monte? Well, here we go. A few people here. Rolando Gapud. Where does he come from? 45 years in banking and in finance. This is a finance guy. He currently serves on the board of major Philippine companies and even the Development Bank of the Philippines itself, which is the finance arm of the Philippine government. So this guy is a big banker. He's plugged into that network. Next, Campos. He's on the board. He's also the CEO, acting, of Del Monte. He's also worked at Unilab, which is the Philippines' largest pharmaceutical company. And he's also got some finance connections. So big money, big finance, big pharma. What else is big ag plugged into here? Mr. Benedict Song is also president and CEO of the bank. He's held various key positions at Citibank in the Philippines. So another banker. Somehow these aren't farmers on the board of directors for Del Monte. In fact, they're all international bankers, aren't they? Here's Mr. Godfrey Scotchbrook. I mean, this is like, you can't make this stuff up. This guy is straight from central casting. He's apparently a proponent of good corporate governance. And he's also, you know, plugged into other companies internationally. So these folks who are deciding to get to shut down key parts of the U.S. agriculture are not even from the U.S. They're international businessmen and bankers and pharmaceutical peoples. They're plugged into that network. And I'll just stop there, short of suggesting anything nefarious, but I think it's pretty obvious that they have no allegiance whatsoever to our farmers or to our food supply or to you and me. They're shutting down key parts of the U.S. agricultural process. And it's not that they're doing this across the world, folks. If they're divesting in the U.S., where are they investing? It turns out, yes, they are investing in Kenya. They're moving operations to Africa, just like China is doing. I hope you're seeing the patterns. The big money is moving to where you'll still be able to grow food. These people are making their moves now, as should you be. Del Monte will be opening a 500 million, whatever that is, processing plant and expand production there. This is right next door to a large Coca-Cola processing plant that said we need more fruits for our fruit juices. And so this is going to be serving that market there. Moving production to Africa. All right, let's keep going. There were other companies that have been affected by the terrible seasons so far. Just last year, we saw Cargill had to close, and a number of others as well, had to close their grain plants, including, due to the cold weather. This was the bombogenesis incident that brought really cold temperatures, shut down nuclear power plants, grain processing facilities, and things like this. Happened in South Dakota as well. A few months later, very cold temperatures forced the grain facilities to shut down. How are they reacting? Well, it turns out Cargill is also divesting from their assets in North America, specifically in Ontario. They're getting out, guys. It's too cold. It's all shutting down. We are selling our grain and our crop assets in Ontario. The sale comprises 13 different facilities. This is actually a huge transaction here. And Cargill says that we wanted to make sure that we stay competitive. We came to the conclusion that these assets were not the best way forward. We're getting out of Canada. It's too cold. Everything's shutting down. It's not the only one. Ardent Mills, which is part owned by Cargill and part owned by ConAgra, is closing 4 flour mills now, right now. This is going to be done in the next 6 months, and these flour mills are going offline. They did not specify how much capacity would be lost, but you're seeing chunks fall away. They're closing a barley to malt processing plant in Jamestown, North Dakota. And at the same time, you know, are they suffering as farmers are taking these terrible seasons and these awful losses and going bankrupt and losing their farms and their homes? No, actually, the people, the Cargill's private, and the people that still own it are getting their best payouts in years. They're just taking profits left and right. They're also taking some of that money, and again, they're not moving to the equator this time, but they're investing in factories that can produce bacteria fed on methane and use that bacteria to feed fish and livestock. So this is the fake lab-grown meat, lab-grown food kind of a situation. Cargill, plant-based salmon feed, We're going to be introducing that next year. So they're shutting down normal agriculture and they're standing up this fake technocratic weird lab-grown meat style. I mean, even the USDA considered it a regulated, genetically modified crop until very recently. That's just crazy. We've already seen Tyson is doing the same thing. They're, after all, one of the major investors with Jeff Bezos into the Beyond Burger. I'm sorry, with Bill Gates, actually, into the Impossible Burgers. And they just keep shoving more and more money into those fake meat investments. Tyson has made it clear that's where the future, they believe, lies. And that was before even they just suffered this fire recently, which is causing warnings of a shortage of hamburger meats and steaks. People are talking about 5% of the total U.S. beef pipeline going offline. Their workers are being promised that they'll be paid even though they're not working right now. But in the past, that hasn't happened, so we'll see what happens. And yeah, this is a significant event. I just want to call it out as something that, will be felt. Beef prices have already gone up. Losing 4 to 5% of the capacity will disrupt supplies. It's going to be felt. End users will now experience higher prices because there's less supply, as always. So there you go. It's going to be a historically significant event to beef processors. And of course, they're still recalling even more of their meat products right now. It's just getting ridiculous. So these are the kinds of moves that we're seeing from big ag companies. And I have covered extensively ag tech, the fake meat, the lab-grown meat, the vertical farms like Plenty.ag, the AI-based growing where they deliver exactly the chemicals needed to these hydroponic stations at all times. I've covered those things extensively, but I wanted today to look at these larger existing big ag companies that have been out there for a long time and then take a look at what they're doing. And across the board, it's shutting down capacity where it's been, Europe, North America, and moving it closer to the equator and even more so into a lab, indoors, into a test tube. So that's where we are, folks. And I would use that to suggest that you also take steps every day to ensure your food security going forward. I think that's all I'm going to include in this report, lest it get too big. But thanks for watching, and thanks also for sharing the word about the need to start growing your own food as we enter the grand solar minimum. Take care, folks.